certainly do appreciate your presence, and we appreciate those who have helped to lead in the service today. Last Wednesday night, I had the privilege to speak at Calvert City, Kentucky, beginning a series of Wednesday night lessons on the family. And I was impressed with how many people there are related to or friends to so many of you, and many of them sent their regards. The church there is growing and doing well, and we appreciate the work that's being done in that part of Kentucky. Let me encourage you, when you know of someone who is sick, to give me a call. When you know of someone who may have moved in close to you in town, let me know. I'm interested in doing everything I can to serve the congregation, and your helping me know of needs will be especially helpful on a day-to-day basis. I want to take just a moment this morning to mention that today, I believe, is, or maybe tomorrow, is the 94th birthday of Sister Allie Hires. And sometime later this month, Brother Carlton Morton will be 90. We have about 8 or 10 of our members who have crossed 90. I suppose we have about 50, maybe more, that are in their 80s. And I really believe that we have some of the finest examples of Christian ladies and Christian gentlemen in this congregation of anywhere that you could go. We appreciate you, Miss Allie, for what you do and what you are. Suppose you are going down the road and you see a big hole over to the side of the road and you see dirt coming out of that hole and you investigate and you find a fellow down in the bottom of it just digging as hard as he can and throwing dirt out, and you ask him what he's doing. And he says, "I find myself in this hole and I'm trying to get out." Wouldn't you think that a bit stupid? At least unwise? A few days ago, I was reading my Lions Club magazine. As usual, over toward the end, there's a page that sometimes will have some funny stories, and most of the time will have some little statements that really catch your attention. Such was the case on this occasion. There was a statement that said, "If you find yourself in a hole, stop digging." I sat there for a moment and I thought how true that is. And how many of our problems would be solved if we understood the idea that is associated with that. If you find yourself in a hole, stop digging. The Bible has a lot to say about holes, usually using the word pit. Ecclesiastes 10:8, "He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it." And I think all of us are aware that many of the pits that we have in life, many of the holes where we find ourselves, are dug by ourselves. In fact, the book of Psalms, chapter 7, verse 15, talks about a person digging a hole, but 57 and verse 6 talks about they have dug the hole that one falls in. There are holes in life, there are pitfalls in life that you and I create for ourselves. There are also pitfalls or holes where you and I can fall and be in danger and have some serious problems that have been dug by someone else. But because we do not put forth the effort to know where the holes are and to know how deep they are and how dangerous they are, we sometimes fall in before we realize the seriousness of the situation. If you find yourself in a hole, stop digging. First today, let's think about some of the holes or pitfalls in life that we need to consider. And to introduce that, I want to share with you some words from Ephesians 4. We're beginning at verse 17. "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." It indicates that they have problems many times because they don't open their eyes and look, they don't see where the holes are. "Who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." And don't you just get the idea as we read that verse that they just keep on digging? Keep that in mind as I read it again. "Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." They just keep on in the area where the problem is. They just keep on digging. And certainly the problem magnifies because of that. And then he makes this little statement in verse 20. "Ye have not so learned Christ." Christ came that we might be able to quit digging. that we might be able to recognize where the holes in life are and get out of them with His help. But first, consider some of the places where we may find ourselves in pits in life. First, there is the moral pit, or maybe it would be better to say the immoral pit. In Proverbs, the 22nd chapter and verse 14, the Bible says, "The mouth of a strange woman is a pit." The idea there is that when you allow yourself to be enticed and seduced by someone who is not your wife or your husband, you become involved with a person like that and you are led astray, that you're being led into a pit. How many people today are there that find themselves in the pit of immorality, who find themselves involved in activities that are condemned in the Word of God, activities that undermine the sanctity of the home and the family, and many times affect the church as well as the community, because people do not respect the purity and the cleanliness of the body and the purity and cleanliness of the mind and allow themselves to get into an immoral pit. And sometimes they just keep digging. We do not really need to take the time to remind us of how many people there are in this country who are addicted to some kind of drug. And there are those who are so addicted that they will literally steal to get money to get another fix. They're in the pit, but what do? They keep digging. They want another fix and another fix and another fix. And how many times is it that one will tell a lie and then tell another lie to prop up that lie? You and I have said so many times, two wrongs do not make a right. And I've heard and I've even used this statement that he told that to prop up what else he had said. And if we get into that cycle of not telling the truth and just keep on digging, we just get into a deeper hole and a deeper hole in that immoral pit. If you find yourself in a pit, stop digging. In the second place, there is the financial pit. I'm aware of a young couple who a few years ago allowed themselves to get into debt, literally thousands of dollars, because they were having difficulty paying off one credit card and got an application in the mail to get another credit card and took it and borrowed all they could on it to pay off the first and continued to do this until, if I remember right, they had about 8 or 10 credit cards with every one of them at the max. And the payment on all of these was such that they could not make it and have anything left to pay rent or utilities or to eat. Help was given in a reorganization in this situation to where they were able to begin to come out. And in the advice that was given by the one who helped them to come out of this, the first thing was, you must promise not to borrow another cent. Why? Stop digging. You're never going to get out of a hole if you keep digging. And taking out another credit card or another loan to cover this one will not help. Now, I'm thankful that even our government recognizes that there's a need sometime for reorganization and that there is a need for help. But even in that case, the idea is, let's stop where we are and let's turn it in the other direction and let's start getting out of this hole. If not, you just get farther and farther and farther in a financial hole. I think this is what happens many times when families dig a marriage pit. Begin to have problems in the marriage. And the husband maybe is doing some things he shouldn't do, but sometimes out of spite, he just keeps on doing those, and the wife is dissatisfied, and instead of trying to come together and talk about these problems and solve them, they begin to do more and more and go into other problems, and the pit gets deeper and deeper and deeper. And sometimes they're so far in a hole that it's almost impossible to dig out. And in many instances, try to find somebody else to blame when everything that has happened has been brought about because they've just been digging a hole and digging a hole and digging it deeper and digging it deeper. If you find yourself in a hole as far as your marriage is concerned, stop digging. Start looking for answers, especially turning to God. And I think in the fourth place, sometimes we allow ourselves to get into a spiritual pit. Our faith maybe becomes weak, or something happens that creates a doubt, and we begin to build on that and another doubt, and one thing leads to another, and we find ourselves spiritually weak. This is usually what happens when people quit attending the services and quit being involved in worship and in activities in the church. Most people do not quit attending all the services in 1 week. Usually there's a beginning to neglect a little bit, and then it's easier to neglect a little bit more and a little bit more. And how many times has someone said, I did not intend to quit? What happened? Person got into a spiritual hole. Maybe began to read God's word less and pray less and be associated with God's people fewer times. And just continued to dig a little here and a little there and dig a little more and just get deeper and deeper into that spiritual hole. That's not the answer. But that's what happens so many times. In fact, we have indicated to some extent in the last few minutes what I believe to be some wrong answers. And let me suggest those to you in a very specific way, reminding us, first, that 2 Timothy 3:13 says, evil men and seducers wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Evil is such that it tends to get worse if it's not controlled, if it's not stopped. Evil men and seducers wax worse and worse. Notice that. And here's why. Here are some of the answers that it seems to me are given when we find ourselves in a hole. Number one, I was pushed in. Now, this is an inherited trait because it was with the first family. What happened, Adam? She gave to me. What happened, Eve? The serpent's the reason. Now, Adam and Eve were in a hole. But what did they do? They kept digging. They started blaming somebody else. I was pushed in. And believe you me, in the times in which you and I live, there are those who will push us in. There are those who will dig the hole and push us in. And that's the second thing that happens sometimes. We say someone else dug the hole. I didn't dig it. Someone else dug it. It's somebody else's problem. Well, that may be true. But even if somebody else did dig the hole and you're in it, you're still in it. And you need to get out of it. And you can sit there 24 hours and keep saying somebody else dug it and you're still in it. That's not the answer. Maybe it's good sometimes to see how others have contributed to problems and to try to understand that and try to avoid it the next time. But having understood that and having come to that conclusion, if you're in a hole, you're still in a hole. And saying somebody else dug it is not going to take care of it. And then there is that trend that is so prevalent today that you just need to stop where you are and feel good about yourself and you'll be all right. Okay, you're sitting at the bottom of a hole. And I come by and look down there and say, listen, you need to feel good about yourself. You just need to accept yourself for who you are and walk on and leave you in the hole. What good is that? And you sit there in the bottom of the hole and say, you know, I'm a fine person. I feel good about myself. That's great. And it's important to feel good about ourselves, especially when we're right with God. But you can feel good about yourself and be in a hole. And I think one of the things that's happening today, even by many who are preaching, is that we're making people feel good about themselves without emphasizing what was read there in Acts 3:19, repent and turn. You can feel good about yourself and be lost. Those described in Matthew 7:21 said, Lord, we've done all these things in thy name. We really feel good about ourselves. He said, I never knew you. If you're in a hole, you can sit in the bottom of that hole and feel good about yourself and still be in the hole. Well, I'll just turn it over to Jesus. Well, now, I would not minimize the idea of help coming from Jesus in any way whatsoever. But what I'm hearing so many times today when people say I'm going to turn it over to Jesus is I'm not going to do anything about it myself. I'm going to turn it over to Jesus and let him take care of all of it. And I don't find that idea in God's word. Turning over things to God, turning things over to God, turning things over to Jesus means we still quit digging ourselves if we're in a problem and we start trying to turn things around. Turning things over to Jesus first means repenting, changing the situation. Jesus will help. We cannot overemphasize that. But you can sit in the bottom of a hole and look up and say, I've turned everything over to Jesus, and I'm going to guarantee you, you'll still be in that hole. If Jesus, in some miraculous way, reaches down and picks you up and takes you out of that hole, I'm going to have to go back and re-examine my understanding of God's word. That's not the way Jesus acts today. And this idea that we can just emphasize Jesus and turn it over to Jesus and Jesus is going to take care of it is not going to work unless we understand what it means to turn things over to Jesus. In that process of turning things over to Him means we're to do everything we can to control the situations that exist. Do you know of a passage in the Bible? Listen carefully. Do you know of a passage in the Bible that says that God will forgive you of your sins as long as you keep on in those sins? Do you know of any indication that God is going to overlook and forgive your sins without your repentance and your changing your attitude and your actions relative to those? I don't know of a passage that says that. Forgiveness is one of the greatest blessings we have, and you and I would be in a terrible hole if we didn't have that forgiveness, because we all sin. But folks, the forgiveness of God, listen, depends upon the repentance of man. The change in the heart of God depends upon the change in the heart of man. God has never, in the Christian dispensation, promised us forgiveness of any sin or the solution to any problem as long as we continue to be active in that problem. And so just saying that we turn it over to Jesus is not going to take care of it unless we understand what's involved. And certainly, you're not going to solve the problem by just continuing to dig. Even a child knows if you're in a hole and you keep digging, you're going to go deeper. You've got to stop that digging. Then what are the right answers? And we need to be concerned about this because there's not a one of us here this morning but who has found himself in some kind of a pit in life. Some are deeper than others. There are different kinds. And the pit that you may find yourself in may not be exactly the one I find myself in, but we all have problems in life. We all find ourselves in those pits in life. What can we do? Well, let's back up one step earlier and suggest in the first place, let's try to see those pits and avoid them if we possibly can. Now, I just said we're not going to avoid all of them, but let's avoid as many as we can. Every time you avoid falling in a hole, you've got one fewer holes to get out of. After emphasizing that we all sin in the last three or four verses of 1 John 1, he starts chapter 2 by saying that we need to avoid sin. He said, "These things write unto thee that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father." Putting that in the words of our lesson today, he's saying, "I'm writing these things to you to keep you out of some holes, but if you get in a hole, then there's an answer." And parents especially, we can help our younger people stay out of a lot of holes by teaching them some facts about God's Word and about human life. If we do not teach our young people the facts of human relationships, they may find themselves in a hole before they realize the hole is there. And so we would emphasize in the first place, we need to see those holes and we need to avoid them. But when we find ourselves in holes, there is a two-word suggestion that is so important, and that is quit digging. Quit digging. That's the main message. You're never going to solve any idea of getting out of a hole in life if you keep on digging. Quit digging. A few years ago, I received a call from one of the members of the church where I was preaching in Middle Tennessee, and she said, "Brother Flatt, I'm in a terrible situation. I've allowed myself to start drinking alcohol, and I've allowed myself to come involved with another man, and I just feel so badly. And I need some encouragement." And I said, "Well, the first thing I would suggest is that you get out of that relationship that's not right and you quit drinking and you get your..." And here were her words. "I called you to encourage me and you are telling me that I need to quit something." I said, "Yes, ma'am, that's exactly right. I don't know how to encourage you if you stay in the pit. I don't know how to encourage you to have the right kind of life if you're going to keep on seeing this man and keep on drinking alcohol. The first thing you've got to do," and I didn't use those words then, but if I knew what I know now, I probably would have, "you've got to quit digging." Quit digging. And then start filling. and start climbing. Start filling. Fellow's horse fell into a big sinkhole, and they tried every way to get him out, and they couldn't get him out. Somebody said, to get him out of his misery, let's just bury him. So they started hauling loads of dirt and dumping them into the hole, and as they dumped the dirt in, the horse just patted it down, and eventually he walked out. Fill that hole up with dirt. Start filling. And also start climbing. Some holes may seem so difficult you can't get out of them, but try. Start climbing. There was a new dug grave in a cemetery. A fellow who was under the influence of alcohol came and fell in. He sort of tried to get out, and he couldn't, so he just settled down over in the corner. A little later, another fellow was walking through that cemetery, and he fell in. And he tried and tried and tried to get out of that new dug grave, and he couldn't make it. The fellow over in the corner said, you might as well quit. You can't make it. But he did. If you have the right motivation, you can get out of any hole if you'll start filling and start climbing. Quit digging, start filling, and start climbing. Jesus and you can get out of any hole. Now notice that combination. Jesus is not going to pick you up out of a hole, and you're not going to be able to get out of it by yourself. But Jesus and you, working together according to His Word, can get out of any hole where you find yourself in life. I believe that with all my heart. I believe if you are willing to confess and forsake, Proverbs 28:13 that was read, notice, confess and forsake, admit it and do something about it. If you are willing to repent, and the American Standard Version uses the word turn again instead of be converted in Acts 3:19. If you are willing to repent and turn that thing around, Jesus and you can climb out of any hole that there is in life. This is exactly what the psalmist said in Psalm 40, verse 2. He brought me up also out of the pit and set my feet upon a rock. He brought me up out of the pit and set my feet on a rock. With God's help, you and I can overcome any problem that there is in life. We can get out of any hole, and we can put our feet on a rock if we'll do it God's way. If you're not a Christian this morning, you need to let Jesus help you get out of the hole of living outside of Him. If you're willing to show your faith and penitence by confession and baptism for the remission of sins, He will forgive your sins and He will help you to overcome the consequences of those sins. And as a Christian, if you've allowed yourself to get into some hole in life, God is willing to forgive if you will repent, confess, and pray God for that forgiveness. If you find yourself in any hole, you and Jesus can get out of it. Maybe starting right now, as together we stand and sing.